buildings, stony pavements, slaty roofs, and respectably ill-dressed or disreputably poorly dressed people, quite accustomed to the place, and mostly plodding about somebody else's work, which they would not do if they themselves could help it. The little energy and eagerness that crop up show themselves in cockney cupidity and business push. Even the policemen and the chapels are not infrequent enough to break the monotony. The sun is shining cheerfully, there is no fog, and though the smoke effectually prevents anything, whether faces and hands or bricks and mortar, from looking fresh and clean, it is not hanging heavily enough to trouble a Londoner. This desert of unattractiveness has its oasis. Near the outer end of the Hackney Road is a park of 217 acres, fenced in, not by railings, but by a wooden paling, and containing plenty of greensward trees, a lake for bathers, flower-beds with the flowers arranged carefully in patterns by the admired Cockney art of carpet-gardening and a sand-pit, imported from the seaside for the delight of the children, but speedily deserted on its becoming a natural vermin-preserve for all the petty fauna of Kingsland, Hackney, and Hoxton. A bandstand, and unfinished forum for religious, anti-religious, and political orators, cricket-pitches, a gymnasium, and an old-fashioned stone kiosk are among its attractions. Wherever the prospect is bounded by trees or rising green grounds, it is a pleasant place. Where the ground stretches far to the grey palings, with bricks and mortar, sky-signs, crowded chimneys and smoke beyond, the prospect makes it desolate and sordid. The best view of Victoria Park is from the front window of St. Dominic's Parsonage, from which not a single chimney is visible. The parsonage is a semi-detached villa with a front garden and a porch. Visitors go up the flight of steps to the porch. Tradespeople and members of the family go down by a door under the steps to the basement, with a breakfast-room, used for all meals in front, and the kitchen at the back. Upstairs, on the level of the hall door, is the drawing-room, with its large plate-glass window looking on the park. In this room, the only sitting-room that can be spared from the children and the family meals, the parson, the Reverend James Maver Morell, does his work. He is sitting in a strong, round-backed, revolving chair at the right-hand end of a long table, which stands across the window, so that he can cheer himself with the view of the park at his elbow. At the opposite end of the table, adjoining it, is a little table, only half the width of the other, with a typewriter on it. His typist is sitting at this machine, with her back to the window. The large table is littered with pamphlets, journals, letters, nests of drawers, an office diary, postage scales, and the like. A spare chair for visitors having business with the parson is in the middle, turned to his end. Within reach of his hand is a stationery case and a cabinet photograph in a frame. Behind him the right-hand wall, recessed above the fireplace, is fitted with bookshelves, on which an adept eye can measure the parson's divinity and casuistry by a complete set of Browning's poems and Maurice's theological essays, and guess at his politics from a yellow-backed Progress and Poverty, Fabian Essays, A Dream of John Ball, Marx's Capital, and half a dozen other literary landmarks in socialism. Opposite him on the left, near the typewriter, is the door. Further down the room, opposite the fireplace, a bookcase stands on a cellaret with a sofa near it. There is a generous fire burning, and the hearth, with a comfortable armchair and a japanned flower-painted coal-scuttle at one side, a miniature chair for a boy or girl on the other, a nicely varnished wooden mantelpiece, with neatly moulded shelves, tiny bits of mirror let into the panels, and a travelling-clock in a leather case—the inevitable wedding present— and on the wall above a large autotype of the chief figure in Titian's Virgin of the Assumption, is very inviting. Altogether, the room is the room of a good housekeeper, vanquished, as far as the table is concerned, by an untidy man, but elsewhere mistress of the situation. The furniture, in its ornamental aspect, betrays the style of the advertised drawing-room suite, of the pushing suburban furniture dealer, but there is nothing useless or pretentious in the room. The paper and panelling are dark, throwing the big, cheery window and the park outside into strong relief. The Reverend James Maver Morell is a Christian socialist clergyman of the Church of England, and an active member of the Guild of St. Matthew